When I hear the term station, it reminds me of being in the military and being asked the question, where are you stationed? Or people want to at least know where you have been stationed because maybe they've been there before or they know the place. But for that time, it's your military post. It's your assignment. So it is fitting of the church on earth because the church now is called the church militant. And she is militant, this side of glory. And yes, that means to fight. Fight what? Fight the good fight of the faith, says 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. And it's a paradox from the just relax and take it easy station in life, since after all, Jesus has already done it all, right? But only because Jesus has done it all is why we can fight. Because he gives us the ability and the power. So what is the good fight of the faith? Well, this week it is fighting against pride and humility. And it is about conquering them with love. And you could call that being pH balanced. If you were familiar with that scientific term, the balancing out of the acids in your body, and that maintains a healthy balance of yourself. And I say balanced because love in the middle of those, in the middle of pride and humility, will do just that. So let's start with pride. Pride in the Old Testament is defined as being a majestic self, to self-exalt oneself. However, when speaking of majesty, majesty is to be God's alone. Therefore, he who is majestically self-exalting himself is against God. Because we worship his majesty, not ours. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. 1 John 2, 16-17. In the New Testament, pride is the word vaunted. Sounds cooler than pride, doesn't it? The vaunting of life. Say that real fast three times for a tongue twister. The vaunting of life, the vaunting of life, the vaunting, the vaunting. But to be vaunted is to overestimate one's own importance or one's own abilities. So, for example, if someone you work with, per se, is acting that way, you ask them, why are you being so vaunting? Well, they probably will have no clue what you're saying. Or they will get mad, so no, you probably shouldn't try that. When rabbis taught on pride, they just said that pride is the exact opposite of humility. It's when people make empty boasts about having a cure to fix someone else or all their ill doings. But Jesus at the cross, you can rightly say, is far from pride on the one hand. He first gets mocked. Then they put a crown of thorns on his head. Ha, 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 you're a king. Well, here's your crown. They spit on him and they took a stick and hit him on the head with it. And then Pilate also writes an inscription and puts it on the top of the cross, and it read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription, and it was written in Aramaic and Latin and in Greek, those three languages. The chief priests of the Jews did not like the Aramaic writing part of it. That is why they asked him to write rather, this man said, I am the king of the Jews. And Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Now there's a theory on why they didn't like the lettering. That's because the first letters of the Hebraic languages, which Aramaic is like an older Hebrew, not Arabic, but Aramaic, the letters in that language of the Jewish people many times make up a word picture. You could read a whole phrase in Hebrew just by skimming the first letters of each word. So the Jews would assign a picture for each letter and also a number to every letter in the alphabet. So what they didn't like because of the word picture that it spelled from those first letters was this, that it spelled out Lamb of God. And in no way did they want that to be seen. But Pilate says, too bad, too sad, tell your mom, tell your dad. And then they cast lots against Jesus to gamble on who would get his clothes. Evidently, they liked his seamless robe. They stripped him, and Jesus then was hung naked on the cross. No modest garments were kept on any of the crucified. And in light of that, one of the hardest things that Jesus had to endure was shame. Leading up to the cross, yes, Jesus had identified himself as the Son of God, spoke in ways that signified to the chief priests and the scribes that he was God, that he is divine. So you may ask, does that count as pride? Although Jesus didn't speak directly, "I am God," he did use terms to point in that right direction. But before he started talking that way, he taught the people with authority, not like the other rabbis, Scripture attests to. He performed many signs and wonders, and he did those things to give glory to God. He said, "See what I do, and then make your conclusion." He was sent to be God in flesh, to represent God the Father. As he spoke, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." So the only pride he took was showing people the Father. He did take pride in his compassion, in his saving nature and grace, but not to lord it over others, only to use it for salvation's cause. Sure, humans have saved other lives before of people, maybe from sinking, from drowning, from dying on the operating table, but never from sin, everlasting death, and from being taken a hold of by the evil one. And each life that is saved from dying for a temporary period of time here on earth is but a foretaste of God's ultimate saving. And in every one of those instances, this side of heaven, God's hand was certainly involved. Yet Jesus doesn't exalt himself. If he is to be raised up, it is to be raised up on the cross. He took pride for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross for the joy. Hebrews 12:2 states, "Joy in the cross." It's mind-boggling, isn't it? And the Father was proud that his Son followed his will. We can do that. We can be proud of our children. And that is not done to put them above anyone else or teach them that they are better than someone else. We show we are proud because we love them and they have accomplished something of value. And that's where the pH balance comes into play. Love. You can be proud of love. Take pride in loving your neighbor. And your neighbor is anyone you come in contact with, and also those of your own household. Jesus on the cross gave himself up to death, and he did it to show his love for us. For scarcely for a righteous man one will die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5, 7-8. While in our pride, and when we are unloving, he died for us, and that death then, once for all, covers over each and every day we fail to humble ourselves and we have no love to give. That's the kind of station of triumph that Jesus took. And yes, it is only natural now to feel bad about that, but try not to look at it so much in that way. Think of it more as that's how much you are loved. And then have tears of comfort that in the bad times as well as the good times that he does not lessen his love for us. And we're going to get to that this Sunday about God measuring sin or not. But hear now that love covers a multitude of sins, 1 Peter 4:8. And all the more so from the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. That tune sound familiar? Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. That's the Agnus Dei, the Lamb of God that the church sings while making ready to come and receive the precious body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. So these three stations are all wrapped in love. And in paradox, once again, though, Jesus was humiliated, but at the same time, he was exalted and now sits at the right hand of God. And it should cause us to ask for forgiveness from others that we have wantonly cast lots against with our words and actions. And in that way, we live and die in Christ. To live is gain, says St. Paul but to die is Christ. And that means we get to be with him forever. That's the goal, the good fight of the faith. And the cross is our weapon to get there. Most certainly, Jesus gives us all a station in life, our vocations, our families, even our residences. And those stations are to work out our pride, along with our love and our humility. The Lord says, in essence, go ahead, work out those things, the good and the bad. Wrestle with them. And if you are not wrestling with them every day, then you do not have a clue what the faith once delivered for mankind is all about. Because we work those things out. It is good to size them up. And to work out in this context means to get them out of us. Put them forth from the inward to the outward. And the greatest of these to get out is love. Love does cover over our prideful and self-exalting moments. So the love is a covering. It is a blanket. It's like a shield that the bomb squad guy has, that if the bomb goes off, it detonates underneath it. So this Lenten journey we are on is the way to see this reality. We acknowledge we have bombs going off every day, but fear, love, and trust in God above all things keeps us alive. Above all, put him above the situation. See Jesus up on the cross. You turn your eyes there and the scales of self-exaltation will shed and fall. And that's the dead skin that is good to let go. Those things shall shed because he shed. If he hadn't, then all I have been saying is nothing but baloney. But it's not a baloney sandwich. It is his feast of victory. And if all this is too much to remember, then all you have to think of is those two words. See the image, he shed. Just two words. And those two words is what I leave with you from these stations of the cross this day. Use them, hold them up, exalt them. And then when someone asks, where are you stationed in life, say, the good fight of the faith. Even against all odds, that is a lovely place to be stationed, because it's to be stationed in paradise. And that station is station vacation in him. And those kinds of assignments do not get any better than that. In the name of Jesus. Amen.